Today on Annenberg Radio News.
They're dealing on the front lines with people that go hungry every day.
We hear from volunteers at the Los Angeles Food Bank during the busiest time of the year. Good afternoon from the University of Southern California and welcome to Annenberg Radio News for Tuesday, November 18th, 2014. I'm Rakeen Atha.
And I'm Tiffany Walton. The Los Angeles School Board is voting tonight on whether to add an extra requirement to the high school curriculum. If it passes, students will be required to take an ethnic studies class onto their course load in order to graduate. J.J. Maldonado has more.
Students at LAUSD could be adding ethnic studies as part of their graduation requirement. Ethnic studies can mean taking courses in Latin American, African American, American Indian, and Asian American studies. Rongo Chez, a teacher at Maya Angelou Community High School, says the requirement would be one class that students will have to take any time before they graduate.
So it's time that we institutionalize these classes. That is not just an alternative or an option, but it's actually a requirement for graduation.
Elmo Gomez, a youth organizer of Labor Community Strategy Center, says he saw firsthand how ethnic studies can help shape youth's lives.
And then just learning about what happened and being not just reading about it, but feeling like I'm a part of it, like feeling like I'm one of those descendants that's coming from those roots and that this is who I am as a person and this is where I come from culturally.
Gomez said he started taking more interest in his classes after taking ethnic courses and his grades went up. He attended college and started working with high school students.
When you learn about these things, not only do you learn about them, but you're able to come back to your neighborhood and pinpoint how everything has structurally been created.
But David Lair, president of Community Advocates, Inc., says this will just be burdensome to students and academically unnecessary.
90% of the students in LA Unified are of color. It's kind of, you know, they live their life every day with diversity, with kids of other persuasions and other ethnicities and other races. You know, this is not the lily white LA Unified of 60 years ago.
The LAUSD school board will decide this afternoon if the curriculum will be added. The change can go into effect as soon as the next school year with a pilot program at 5 different high schools. The board hopes this will help close the achievement gap, reduce student truancy, and student dropout. J.J. Maldonado, Annenberg Radio News.
Mira Costa High School in Manhattan Beach was closed today after a threat was posted on the anonymous social media app Yik Yak. Today's closure is just the latest example of a growing number of schools forced to respond to violent language on the site. Reporter Matt Levin has more.
Read the comments section of just about anything online and brace yourself for what people are willing to say when you don't know who they are. It's the kind of thing that makes you think the Amish might have had the right idea when it comes to this technology thing. But Nadia Daniela, a senior at USC, reminds us that anonymous speech can have a softer side.
That's my first yak, I think. I wrote, this weather makes me feel like I just don't want to do anything all day, and I got a lot of ups, I guess. It was like 30s, I was really proud of that.
Her yak was her first anonymous post on Yik Yak, a social media platform that has become incredibly popular among college and high school students. All yaks are anonymous, and in Nadia's case, it allowed her to share how blah she was feeling that day without feeling like she was annoying her friends.
Yeah, I felt more comfortable because it was anonymous, because if I would just posted it on Facebook, I don't know, it just wasn't, I don't think that people would care so much about it. And I mean, I get annoyed sometimes when people just update their Facebook all the time, stuff like that.
Yik Yak has come under fire recently as the favored message board for school-wide threats. Earlier today, Mira Costa High School in Manhattan Beach was closed after someone posted a yak that said, "If you go to Costa, you should watch out very closely at school today." The Mira Costa incident follows similar scares at high schools in San Clemente, one in Illinois, and Drake University, stemming from Yik Yak posts.
What we do is we basically have enrolled in Yik Yak so we can look at Yik Yak, and every day we'll scroll through the different posts occasionally and see what we see.
That's Deputy Chief Johnny Adams from USC's Department of Public Safety. He says that although Yik Yak claims to be anonymous, that if DPS really wants to find you, they probably will.
It's an anonymous app. However, like anything, there's always a paper trail or a digital footprint.
That explains why authorities have been able to make arrests in several cases where threats are made on Yik Yak. But the tough part for DPS detectives is distinguishing between credible threats and run-of-the-mill, borderline violent speech.
And if it rises to the level of a criminal threat, then we'll look at it in a criminal basis. If we look at it and it's vague at that point in time, if it rises to a level where we think that it needs to be assessed by a threat assessment team, then we'll go ahead and look at it in that way.
Adam says DPS has yet to see a school-wide threat on Yik Yak towards USC, but they're watching. For Annenberg Radio News, this is Matt Levin.
One of LAUSD's board members wants to add a second adult into every classroom in the district. The proposal by board member Monica Ratliff is aimed at spotting and preventing behavior that could constitute child sexual abuse. Ratliff suggested the board add up how much the district has spent investigating allegations of abuse over the past 5 years. Ratliff also proposed adding extra police officers on school campuses.
Cracked sidewalks are more than an eyesore. They're also a safety hazard, particularly for the disabled. Philomena Wong has more on how one district is fixing a major problem.
Jackhammers drilled away at cracks in the cement as Councilman Bernard Parks welcomed guests and neighborhood residents to watch the repair. Parks said that the broken sidewalks on the streets of LA often pose a hazard to pedestrians, sometimes even leading to serious injuries.
It is a major liability to have sidewalks in the disrepair they are now. City pays out literally millions of dollars each year for people who trip and fall, injure themselves. Particularly seniors are we have to be very concerned because some of them never recover from those types of injuries.
Geneva James is a senior citizen who was injured when she tripped on a sidewalk several years ago. She pushed the city to repair the uprooted pavement and was honored for her efforts.
Oh, it's wonderful. I'm glad I lived to see it. Be able to come out without worrying about falling. We're seeing other people fall.
Councilman Parks emphasized that sidewalk safety is essential to improving overall pedestrian safety. His goal is to have more than 400 sidewalk repairs finished before his term ends next June. Philomena Wong, Annenberg Radio News.
Bob Marley, the reggae star whose name and image are synonymous with rolling a fat one, now has his own brand of ganja. Marley died in 1981, but his family teamed up with a private equity firm to promote a line of marijuana products under the name Marley Natural. The company will sell branded marijuana along with creams, lotions, and Marley-themed accessories. Marley Natural will be the first global pot brand when it debuts next year. California residents will have to wait until it's legalized here before buying their own Marley Natural grass. But we went and asked some USC students what they thought of the new brand.
I don't think it's a new thing that they're trying to do because people are trading like drugs, marijuana internationally right now anyways. Only difference is that they just made it public.
Since like there are states such as Washington and Colorado already legalized marijuana, obviously there's going to be people who started the marijuana business. I do think that because it's owned by Bob Marley's family, it does give them a lot of publicity in terms of marketing and promotion.
At the end of the day, maybe if you think about it, things before like 15 years ago that was prohibited, now it's legal. That will make the process more organized and there will be regulations for not selling the marijuana for underage and so on.
That was Jay Park, Alice Fang, and Khalid Mohammed.
Another alleged gang member has been charged with murder in the shooting of a U.S. veteran killed in Sylmar earlier this month. Jerry Raymond Carmona and Anthony Estrada are accused of killing Francisco Garcia. Raymond and Carmona are due back in court on December 18th. If convicted, both face a maximum sentence of life in prison.
The United States Senate voted today to continue building the Keystone Pipeline. It has been a nationally divisive issue. Danica Ceballos tells us how Angelenos are getting involved.
Today's Senate vote focused on completing the final 1,200 miles of the Keystone Pipeline to connect it from Alberta, Canada, to the Gulf of Mexico. Even if the pipeline is eventually completed, there are no jobs at stake for Californians. At a gathering of opponents today, Councilman Paul Koretz chastised Capitol Hill for failing to take into account the pipeline's impact on the environment.
And so we turn our eyes to Washington, hoping maybe finally we'll get some leadership. Excuse me, Congress, but what on earth are you thinking?
Vice President of Communications for the Western States Petroleum Association, Tupper Hull, said that these environmental effects are a common misconception.
I understand there is a movement in this country that mistakenly believes by choking off production and supply of vital fossil fuels to American consumers, they will somehow be promoting a climate change agenda and an environmental agenda. And that is a mistaken perspective.
R.L. Miller is the co-founder of Climate Hawks Vote, a grassroots organization with the goal of electing leaders who are focused on climate change.
It's time to get serious about acting on climate. The city of Los Angeles is doing its part. The state of California is doing its part. It's time for the United States Senate to act on climate rather than engage in Keystone Kabuki votes.
The Senate needs 60 votes to pass the bill. They started voting as we went to air. Even if it passes in both houses, the bill still has to go to President Obama for his signature or veto. Danica Ceballos, Annenberg Radio News.
It looks like fall weather has finally arrived in SoCal. It will cool down to about 55 degrees tonight. And you can expect moderate temperatures this week with partly cloudy skies and highs in the upper 60s.
Later on Annenberg Radio News, fans of the Broadway show Into the Woods were treated to a very musical reunion. Citywide elections are coming up in March, and government and community leaders want to make sure language barriers don't keep Angelenos from casting their ballots. Hillary Jackson has more.
The city clerk and community partners kicked off the LA City Votes Outreach and Education Campaign today at City Hall. The campaign informs voters in their own language about upcoming races, where and when to vote, as well as the importance of voting and how to register. Election materials will be distributed in Spanish, Korean, Chinese, and several other languages. Communities will distribute voting materials and voter guides, multilingual print ads, social media pages, and bus shelter posters. The director of finance at the Little Tokyo Service Center, Scarlett Tsai, says she believes that the voting materials will help increase non-English speakers' interest.
So I think what we'll be doing a lot of is explaining to people how to register as an absentee voter so that they can sort of do that in the comfort of their own home, and then they can bring their ballots and they can ask questions.
The materials are already being distributed, and officials say they hope they will increase turnout for the next election. Hillary Jackson, Annenberg Radio News.
The LA Food Bank is busier than usual with Thanksgiving around the corner. We hear from some of the people who are helping those in need.
The Los Angeles Regional Food Bank was started in 1973, and so we are now in our 41st year, and it was started out of a two-car garage in Pasadena. So as the holidays approach, there tends to be an influx of donations, which we're very fortunate to receive and very grateful for. We also have certain donors who will donate things like turkeys or other traditionally Thanksgiving food.
I do see a lot of community coming in, a lot of volunteers coming in to help prepare kits, to help feed the community.
There's a real sense of urgency all the time at the food bank. It's not just during the holidays. We move 1 million pounds of food out of our warehouses every week. So there's definitely always a sense of urgency. We want to make sure also what we're getting out is high quality, nutritious food. So there's a lot of focus.
At times it can get very emotional. I know when I'm home with my family, you know, I don't think about food security. The people I interact with here at the food bank, they're dealing on the front lines with people that go hungry every day. And to know that we're working with volunteers, with donors, with staff here at the food bank to help alleviate hunger, it goes a long way. It's a problem we take for granted, and it's still out there.
That sound portrait was produced by Mara Allendogan.
BitTorrent, the popular file-sharing platform, announced their new bundle project today. It allows users to pay for some portion of an artist's content, while some of the content will still be free. I spoke to the chief content officer at BitTorrent, Matt Mason, about this change in strategy.
So Bundle is a product rather than a project, and it's essentially a torrent file that a publisher can use to actually sell something. You can put a pay gate inside of the file so that a user has to pay some money. With a bundle, the store is in the content. So wherever that file, that bundle file, gets shared on the internet, a user has a chance to pay for the content that's actually in the file.
Why is BitTorrent venturing into the world of paid content almost oppositional in strategy to an open medium for file sharing?
If you look at the history of the company's always invested in helping creators. Bundles has just simply been our most successful and high-profile venture into this space. There's this huge misconception about BitTorrent. People think, people sort of wrongly associate piracy with BitTorrent, because a lot of piracy sites utilize the open source BitTorrent protocol. It's worth pointing out that all of these sites also utilize the open source HTTP protocol. But nobody says, I HTTP'd a movie last night. It's really unfortunate that BitTorrent has become sort of wrongly associated with piracy in this way.
BitTorrent is known as a file-sharing platform. How does the company expect to change this image?
Honestly, the content creators that are using Bundles are much better equipped to help change perceptions of BitTorrent than we are, and anything they say is much more trusted than anything we can say. On the other hand, you know, you've got a few people, and it's really a handful of people at this point in the entertainment industry, who just will always think BitTorrent's like the bad guy somehow, without really understanding who we are. Those aren't really people we talk to, and you know, in the next 5 years, most of those people will have hopefully retired. So you know, we have a really engaged user base on the publisher side, and we've got 170 million fans using our products all over the world every month. So we think the change is happening, and we're really pleased that content creators are starting to use BitTorrent to make money.
That was Matt Mason from BitTorrent.
The beloved musical Into the Woods is entering the spotlight once again with a movie adaptation by Disney set to come out this Christmas. A Broadway reunion was also held at the Siegenstrom Center for the Arts. Maureen Lee Lenker also goes into the woods as she looks ahead to the film's release, while also looking back at the star-studded reunion.
Once upon a time,
there was a musical about a childless baker and his wife, a witch who wanted to reclaim her youthful beauty, Cinderella, Little Red Riding Hood, and others living in a far-off fairy tale kingdom. The musical went on to win 3 Tony Awards and captured the imagination of musical theater lovers the world over. And Into the Woods lived happily ever after in musical theater history. This Christmas, Into the Woods fans might see their wish come true as an official cinematic adaptation from Disney comes to theaters. Woods fanatics have met the film with some trepidation from the start, fearing the Disneyfication of the traditionally dark musical. For a few thousand Woods fans, though, all thoughts of the upcoming film were pushed out of their head when an Into the Woods reunion was hosted by the Siegerstrom Center for the Arts. The event brought together the original Broadway cast and creators of the show. And as with many musicals, the showstoppers came in the second act. The legendary Bernadette Peters took to the stage. Her performance immediately diminished any excitement I'd had for the film. Here is Meryl Streep's reedy and thin take on Stay With Me, as glimpsed in the second trailer for the film.
Stay a child while you can be a child.
hears Peter's full-bodied, commanding rendition from the original Broadway cast album.
Stay with me, the world is dark and wild. Stay a child while you can be a child.
Her voice and stage presence are so powerful, so mesmerizing. A stark contrast from Streep's forgettable rendition. The event ended with the ballad, No One Is Alone, which moved me to tears.
Something's bound to linger. Be heard.
The song took on an extra poignance after seeing the actors and creators discuss their own journey since the show's debut. It spoke profoundly to theater's ability to unite its participants and audiences within a supportive, protective community. And that truly is the gift of great theater. Whether you're on stage or in the house, it reminds you of our shared humanity. Productions and people may leave you, and ultimately you decide what's good. But still, no one is alone. That reminder is the real enchantment of the show. Hopefully, it will also shine through in the film, and Into the Woods can continue to cast its magic so beautifully on display at this reunion. On the next generation of princes, witches, bakers' wives, and storytellers.
Now, a correction to a story we reported earlier. The U.S. Senate voted against continuing construction of the Keystone XL pipeline. The measure fell one vote short of the 60 it needed to pass. Now we check in with Kim Loeffler to see what's coming up on Annenberg TV News at 6 p.m. on Trojan Vision. Hi, Kim.
Hi, Rocky. Well, tonight on ATVN, we'll have more about the former USC student who was killed in a synagogue attack in Jerusalem. Tune in to Trojan Vision tonight at 6.
Thank you. Look forward to it. Thanks, Kim. Keep clicking on our website, annenberg.org, for more news about South Los Angeles, and remember to follow us on Twitter at Annenberg Radio.
Students at UCLA are saying enough is enough. Dozens of students marched on the Westwood campus today to protest proposed tuition hikes. Many students say tuition increases will disproportionately affect low-income families and students of color. The UC Board of Regents is scheduled to meet tomorrow in San Francisco to begin considering the proposal to raise tuition 5% every year for the next 5 years. If approved, tuition for the 2015-2016 school year could increase to almost $13,000.
The LA Board of Supervisors unanimously voted today to allow terminally ill patients to access experimental drugs and treatments. The supervisors said the FDA's current policy involves too much red tape and that patients should have access to treatments that might save their lives.
The J. Paul Getty Museum has just made a major purchase. The Los Angeles Museum paid more than $65 million for Spring or La Pretemps, an 1881 painting by French artist Edouard Manet. This painting will be hung with other Impressionist and Post-Impressionist works in the Getty's West Pavilion. The painting will go on view November 25th.
That's it for this Tuesday. We had help today from Maya Getter and Taylor Haney. Our board operator is Lexi McVinci, Madeleine Ouls is the newscast producer, and the executive producer is Andy Vasoyan. I'm Rocky Natha.
And I'm Tiffany Walton.
From all of us here at Annenberg Radio News, thank you and goodbye.
Goodbye.